Well, welcome to another Word for Life radio program, and we're excited to be here. I'm the host of the show, Pastor Sam Horn, and my co-host this morning, Dr. Les Olala, Chancellor of Northern Baptist Bible College. Doc, great to have you as always, and I'm so glad that we can do this show together. We've been talking, for those of you who are joining us as new listeners, about the question that James asks in chapter 4 of his little epistle, when he asks the question, what is your life? And we were intrigued by that question and have been discussing now for a number of weeks how to make our life count for the Lord. And we are right in the middle of some wonderful teaching by Dr. Olala on the life of David. And we saw in the last broadcast that God not only chooses people that maybe we would just overlook, but that he uniquely equips them for great service to God. And he makes their life count, not because of necessarily things that they have, but because of what's in their heart, because of their inner character. And we come now, Doc, to a very interesting passage that you and I have been talking about a little bit before the show, and that really has to do with some covenants that David made as he started out his years as king of Israel. And I think the passage you are going to be addressing this morning is out of Psalm 101. I think we can do this morning. Why don't you just kind of take us through those covenants, and we'll get as far as we can. And I know we're probably going to do a couple of shows on this, so I don't want us to be pressured by time this morning. I want us to get right into what these things are, because they're so crucial to helping us answer that question about what our life is to be for the Lord.
When David was about to become king, he realized he was getting in over his head. And I think anyone who gets into God's work realizes he's in over his head, because we are addressing eternal matters which cannot be done in the arm of the flesh. And if you want a good study for yourself, it's 8 verses. If you have time to sit down with a pad and pencil, or if you're marking in your Bible, I would like you to look through Psalm 101, and every time you see the words, I will, in conjunction, that you would highlight that. And we will just begin in this broadcast today on one of those I wills. But there are several in the chapter. We call it the covenants of a leader. As this has been called the householder psalm, this is great covenants of a father. This would be great covenants for anyone who is in a leadership role.
The idea there is commitments we would make to God.
Yeah, right. It's a commitment. That is, I see this, and Lord, by your grace, I will do this. This is not like us making an Old Testament covenant and so on like that, but it is us making a commitment to do these things in our lives. And we see David in verse 1 says, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I highlight this as the covenant of worship, where David makes a covenant to worship. What a vital part of our life that is. And worship is in 2 segments as we will consider this. One, it's based on a proper perception of God. And secondly, it is expressed in praise to God. And in this verse, he said, I will sing of mercy and of judgment. We see his perception of God is balanced. He sees God as a God who is merciful, but he also sees the holy side of God, that God is a God of judgment. And David certainly knew both aspects of that. And it is important for us, if we are indeed going to worship, it is important for us to have that worship based upon a proper perception of who God is. And in building your own life, as we have our own children, I work now with our grandson in his reading, as I am doing in my reading and my wife as well, we are going to record all of the attributes of God that we see. And that becomes the first part of our prayer time. So let me encourage you to develop a habit as you are reading through the Bible. Every time God is described, then record that. For example, Psalm 46 in verse 1, God is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in time of trouble. And so you write that down. Okay, God is refuge. What does that mean to me today? God is my strength. What does that mean to me today? God is my present help in time of trouble. What does that mean to me today? And there are hundreds and hundreds of descriptions of God.
Literally what you're doing, it seems as though you're forming a picture, almost like a biography, if you will.
Yes, it's a biography of God. It's a biography of your God. And when Daniel said, they who know their God shall be strong and do exploits. 1 Chronicles 28, David, as he is passing off the scene, instructs his son, Solomon, know the God of thy fathers.
Doc, let me just throw this question out to you. And I know our listeners, if they were sitting here, I think many would ask the same question, because I think this is something we struggle with. But do you really feel like most Christians and most of our good churches even know God this way?
No, I don't. I feel convicted in my own reading and in my own I realize how shallow I am in my life when I start examining the massiveness of our God. But yet he loves me with a perfect love. And he knows, he understands our frame. He knows we are but dust, Psalm 103. But there has to be the longing. And I think it's the lack of longing that is going to hurt us. None of us are perfect. We are growing into the state until we finally see him face to face. But I think a lot of it is couched in worship, what we're calling worship. And because we feel right in this, then we think, boy, we are really, really getting a picture of who God is.
I know you've done some thinking about worship, because there's so much thought. I mean, basically, worship is the new way to grow your church, when the purpose for worship is entirely different in the Scripture. Can you just take a few minutes and comment on what you're observing and what your concerns are about worship?
Well, as I have observed this, as it has become almost a controversy of all things, you know, I mean, who would have ever dreamt that the worship of God become major controversy? But it's no confusion to me as I looked at it, because the one who was created to worship God bolted from that position.
You're talking here about Lucifer, about Satan. He was the ultimate worshiper.
He was created to be in charge of the worship in heaven. In fact, I believe that he was specially created with the pipes and tabrets in him. And I believe that an instrument would come forth. It was like an orchestra that would come forth, because I believe God had specially created him. Angels are not like cookie angels that we picture.
Right.
Angels were all different.
Unique.
They were unique creations. You see some with wings and some, you know, with six wings and some with heads that would scare the fire out of us. So you don't see any of these type of things that are just common. And in the picture of our worshiping him, we need to see who God is in the description in the Scriptures. And we get back to the point where we see Lucifer was created for that purpose. And yet he left that purpose. So it's no marvel to me that the war right now is going on about worship.
They're literally calling it worship wars out there.
Yes, because who would know better how to confuse the issue to take the glory away from God than Lucifer, who was created for that purpose? So it's no shock to me that this is a battle. But I think in looking at worship, I have noticed their ritual worship. You see that in the Old Testament. God hated ritual worship. If you look in the Old Testament prophets, Amos chapter 5, when God said, I hate your songs, I hate your coming together, I hate your sacrifices. And they were going through all of the rituals of worship, but God knew he was replaced in their hearts. Ritual worship was hated. Today we have recreational worship, along with ritual worship sometimes. We still have ritual worship carrying on.
This is just empty. Yeah,
it's
just
an emptiness.
Forms and motions. That's
but
a good way to put it.
Has been plugged in recreational worship, because it seemed like the church has become too dead. And so consequently, we have to become more recreation-oriented if we're going to attract the crowd.
The whole point is the entertainment of the people.
Well, it has two prongs in my observation. One prong is the personal and entertainment. And the second is pragmatic evangelism. So in my mind, I've seen two prongs in this, what we're calling worship today.
Right, right.
And when you look at aspect this personal entertainment, I just really enjoy this. It makes me feel good. And then pragmatic evangelism, using that which would be a tool. But then, thirdly, there's real worship. And I think real worship is what we're addressing here. And we see that reflected in the life of Job. Job was told that his barns were gone, his herds were gone. Then word came that his sons and daughters were gone. And it says in Job, worship. So the essence of worship is, there is nothing in my heart that I love more and I cherish more than him. Abraham was told to sacrifice Isaac, and he told the servants, I and the lad are going to worship. He was about to lay down the most precious thing he had in life, and that was the son, the child of promise. And yet, as he expressed it, he said, I am going to worship. And the essence of worship is, there is nothing in my life that I love more and I cherish more than I love and cherish him.
Interesting that all comes back to what you said at the beginning about our perspective on God, our perception of God.
And David, in his worship here, he is saying, I will sing of mercy and of judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. And we see also that all worship is a response to truth. I will worship him in spirit and in truth. Mm-hmm. There is no worshiping that is not a response to truth. That has to be kept in mind. So we see worship is based on a perception of God. And why is that perception right? Why is a biography of God so necessary? Because it comes the first part of our prayer time. What is prayer? Dr. Horn, how would you define prayer? A lot of times we would look and say, well, it's talking to God. Mm-hmm. It is this.
Right.
But prayer, we say, is three things. Number one, it is adoration for who God is and for what God does.
Right.
That's the magnification of his person. And as soon as we wake in the morning, we can lay in our bed and say, God, I praise you. You are life. I praise you, God, that you are my strength. You are my salvation. God, I praise you that you are love. And then you get in the shower. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. Sing in the shower. You could have 30 minutes of prayer time in before you ever get to the breakfast table.
Sure.
In the phase of adoration. You can pray as you're going down the highway in the phase of adoration for who God is and for what God does. That's why second part of prayer is agreement. That's confession.
Mm-hmm.
When we see who God is, obviously we see what we are. And Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am undone. He saw who he was. And then prayer is asking, and that's in two divisions. I think one is in intercession for others and then petition for self. It starts out with adoration of who God is, and David here is making a covenant. I will sing of mercy and of judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. So he goes into the worship portion of that. Our perception of God affects how we live. Noah lived the way he lived because he had a right perception of God.
He feared God.
And,
he found grace.
Hebrews 11 and verse 7. By faith, Noah being warned of God, that's the word of God, of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And it was Noah's perception of God that made him do what he did. It was David's perception of God that made David do what he did. Because he had a holy view of God. When David went up against a giant, what did he say? You come to me with swords and spears, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God of hosts. That's the language of a teenager, an exalted view of God.
Wow.
That's a powerful thought, the perception of God, then expressed in praise to God. And that's why our hearts are lifted up in praise.
Well, Doc, our time has literally flown this morning. Let me just let our listeners know that we do appreciate so much the opportunity to minister to you, and we hope to hear from you.